You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Review. The JRE review, the Joe Rogan podcast review. For new listeners, and thanks everyone for downloading. A lot of people have been downloading. I appreciate the support. It's this channel is really just a tribute to Joe Rogan and his show. I will be bringing on guests and people that have been inspired by his show. Not just fans of it, not just people that like listening to it, but people that really feel like it's changing their lives in a positive way. And we'll talk about why that is and what they love about it. And each week we just review the episodes. Now, he does a lot of episodes, so it's kind of tough to do. And we kind of squash him in. But it's just things that I thought about that I enjoy to have a guest on today. Eddie's back. Say hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Nice to hear from you again. And thank you for giving a shout out to Europe. I know we'll be getting some likes over there. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, thanks for coming on, brother. Yeah,
and even in my hometown, Chicago. So thank you very much.
So yeah, I go through as many episodes as I can, things that I found interesting, things that are fun, and yeah, we go like that. I mean, this week, what a great week. I think it is week 57 of the year. No, wait, that doesn't make sense. 2027. That's right. Week 20, so the year's flying by, right? And episode 1153, he had on, of all people, Macaulay fucking Culkin.
Oh, wow. That's right? Pretty cool.
What has this guy been up to? And to be honest, he was a pretty good guest. He was surprisingly interesting. Think about the life he's had, though. I mean,
he had so much money and exposure as a child. And then
how big was he?
He was huge. He was like the poster boy child there. He was like the Campbell Soup kid, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Look at the label.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he was everywhere. And then as some of these young actors, they grow into adolescence, they look a little different. And then his dad and his family took all of his money.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, his dad was his manager, and he was doing it. He was managing his younger brother, too. But all his money, his dad pretty much took all of it.
Jesus. He didn't really go into much of that on the podcast.
I'm sure.
Really anything. He alluded something. Like, Joe made a joke about him, about his dad getting a new house and being like, hey, maybe you should take this script and X, Y, and Z. But he was saying that he doesn't read the scripts, or he didn't back then. His dad would, like, check him out and just choose the movies for him.
Wow.
So that's a lot of pressure, you know? I mean, that is just a ton of pressure.
Yeah.
How old was he when he started making movies?
I think he was, maybe 9, 10, but you're working with, like, the likes of opposite Joe Pesci. You know, Goodfellas, Raging Bull.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so you're a little kid and you're working with Joe Pesci. That's a
legend.
Yeah, you know? And then he did a bunch of other stuff, but...
he did some great movies, man.
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff you could watch with your family for Christmas time.
Right.
I know all those
Dude, Home
things.
Alones, they are still fantastic movies to
they're,
watch.
They're great to watch. Yeah,
they're hilarious. They are just... He was so good in that. You know Trump was in the second one?
No, I didn't know that.
Trump, like, bumps into him at his hotel. He's like, excuse me, young man. It's like Trump's little...
Oh, that's
yeah,
so funny.
It's like his little cameo. That. Yeah, well, you know, he's been traveling a lot as he's got older. Just came back from Thailand, had some sort of parasite, so he's been losing a lot of weight, got an ulcer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, be careful what you're eating over there, obviously. And working on little movies. He was working on a movie with, what's that guy's name, Seth Green?
Oh, of course, yeah, I think
yeah,
they're friends.
Yeah, that's his friend. Yeah,
they've been friends for a long time.
They're buddies from that weird movie they did, Monsters... Was it Monsters Ball? Like the weirdest?
No, that's,
no, that's
Billy,
something
that's
else.
Billy Bob.
Yeah, that was Billy Bob. And Halle Berry's breasts.
Yeah, and they did...
No, no, it was Monster Party?
Yeah, it's, I think Monster Party. Monsters that's... Ball is something else. I would love to be in that movie, Monster. But yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Either way, both crazy movies. But, hey, wasn't in the Monster Ball movie, wasn't Heath Ledger in that and he killed himself? He was Billy Bob's kid. That's what brought together. Yeah, Heath Ledger was the son. And he like hated his son. He thought he was useless.
Oh, you're right.
So he's bullying him and he shot himself.
Oh, you're right.
The movie was dark.
I forgot about that part, yeah.
Billy Bob's good.
He's great.
He's really good.
For him to make Sling Blade, nobody was paying attention to him. And he wrote it, directed it. I think he directed it and then like produced it. And he got John Ritter. John Ritter's a comedic actor. He's one of my favorites. He got him to be there as as a serious part. And he got some heavy hitters. And everyone thought that Billy Bob had that accent.
Right?
So everyone thought that.
Wow.
And then him showing up to Hollywood parties. Hey, how you doing?
Like, they're like, what?
Oh, you're a real actor.
That's hilarious.
Oh, you wrote this? You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of funny how he's, if you're an artist, to kind of look up to, because then he beats the system. Do you know what I mean? It's like he was raised in Beverly Hills and got all the stuff handed to him. It's like he came from the sticks.
He really worked it in.
And he worked it out.
And he is that good. That even that show Goliath is like crushingly good. Well, it makes me think though with Macaulay, right? Because he says basically he's not that big into acting now. He doesn't really have an agent, I don't think, and he just does projects that he likes.
That's awesome.
But how would you say, how would you rate his ability to act? I mean, he's done it. He did it his whole life, right? He did it as a kid.
Right.
Like, he must be really good. If he wanted to just start doing it again, I mean, other than everyone recognizing him as the boy star. But, like, if you're just talking about his talent alone, it must be superb, right? If you wanted to.
Well, I would think so. To have that all that knowledge. And, again, like you said, he does traveling. So it'd be really cool to pick his brain, to tell you the truth, and go, you know, kind of like, well, tell me some of the places you've been to. And he's rattling off, and you're like, oh, does that exist? Where's that at? You
right.
know? So I'm sure he has so much
He used knowledge. To hang out with Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, you're
So he's got to hang out with Michael Jackson. I mean, and that's why it was kind of shocking to see, to listen how kind of normal he is. Like, he's a little bit of a goofball, right? You can hear it. He's, like, trying hard to be funny.
Yeah.
But in some ways, that's just, like, you're in front of Joe Rogan, who's a fucking badass and a comedian. One of the best in the country. Like, so you're going to play up to it a bit, right?
Of course,
So that just may be natural. But all in all, they had a good time. It was funny. Like, they were just, the back and forth was great. And he was a really interesting dude. Like, the kind of guy that if you saw him somewhere, instead of just being like, oh shit, that's Macaulay Culkin. Like, I would go over and say, what up, though? Like, you were fucking
dude,
great.
Dude, I heard you on the podcast. You
know? And I think it just normalizes him because other people have gone on. Steven Tyler went on.
How was
Joe's podcast recently. Like, obviously a legend.
Yeah.
But fucking space cake. Out there. Dude, he's so out there. Like, he's been amazingly famous rocker for so long.
Heavy,
he doesn't know
drugs,
what it's
yeah.
He doesn't know what it's like to just be a normal person. He's just, he brought in like a crystal ball with him. Yeah. Wild. Wild animal. Now, talking about celebrity rockers that are actually quite normal, on podcast 1155, Henry Rollins was on.
Oh, I love Henry Rollins, yeah.
He's a bad motherfucker, too, for sure. Joe's a big fan of Henry. Who was he?
You know, it's so funny, because he was in Black Flag, the punk group in the 80s. But it was really, I think I was telling you, in Chicago, I saw him open up for Jane's Addiction, like, 1990. But it's really cool, because he's up there, he's singing, doing his stuff, and he turns, and he's got this big, that big giant sun that's tattooed on his back from the 80s, if you know. But when he sings, he's always just in his shorts.
Right.
Nothing else, and he's just out there doing his thing, you know, intense.
He's a tank.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? He's older now, so I think he's a little skinnier, but he was a tank of a man. Uh-huh. And just his voice and his intensity. And think of some of the movies he's been in, too. Remember that Keanu Reeves one? Was it called, like, Mnemonics or something? They, like, put the data in his brain.
Oh, I don't think I saw that one.
Well, Henry Rollins plays, like, this great, like, a hacker dude at the end. But he's just, his intensity is ridiculous, almost. In like,
he's
it's almost like, dude, can you be like 5% less intense right
now? Can you calm down? Yeah, but he had that one show a while ago. You know, it was really cool, and he was just doing insane stuff. And
what was the show called? Do you remember?
He was like on the road. He was going through different jungles in Africa and all over. And then he, like, I think he was in India. Or he was somewhere, and he wanted to like kiss a cobra, like, on the head, and he's
get
just
the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and he's looking at the camera. He's like, "Okay, I've been through all this crazy crap and all this shit." And he goes, "Oh my god, like, okay, calm down." And somehow he brings himself to do it, and he does it, and it's like going, "Wow, did I just?" I mean, of all the things in your life, would you think you're a kid growing up, you know, and also you're like, you're getting older, our age, going, I just want to kiss a cobra on the head. It's not like kissing your, it's like not kissing a pit bull, okay?
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I don't think it is, but that's pretty badass that he did it.
Did it
hiss? Was it pissed off?
How did
he even let that happen?
Well, I think, you know, I think the
kind of lazy snake.
The trainers, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, especially in India, like, those guys. I think they those are their friends, man.
Right.
I hate snakes, but I'm like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You
can, right.
He's like, oh, snakes, really? And there's like 1,000 of them.
Dude, I don't think anyone really likes them, though. It'd be like being like, I like spiders.
Yeah. No,
you don't like them.
Yeah.
You can tolerate them. And even the people that are like, oh, I have a pet tarantula and it crawls around on my hands. I think if anything, it's because you're like playing with the danger of it. But it's not the same as like having a kitten. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You cuddle a kitten, that's fucking great. No one's like, oh, look at my tarantula. He's adorable.
I mean, I like watching our videos like silverback gorillas, but I wouldn't want to open the closet door and all of a sudden there's a big
silverback in there.
And it's like, ooh.
Wow.
How'd you eat in there, buddy?
They're not as friendly as you think, I'm sure. You get pissed off, they can
rip your cojones.
Even the small monkeys can tear your arms off. Well, Henry Rollins did open up talking a little bit about Ted Nugent, because Ted Nugent was on Joe recently, and Henry Rollins really respects Ted's music and what he's done for music and his knowledge of music, and, you know, they've talked and they're friends, and it's cool to talk, but...
Oh, really? Okay. Even Joe Rogan, does he like Nugent too?
Well, so because Joe's a big, like, pro hunter, at least for bow hunting...
Right, yeah.
He's heard what Ted says about hunting and also
I've heard
Second
too, yeah.
Amendment stuff. But then he's also heard some crazy shit. So what he did is he wanted him on just to kind of like get to the bottom of it. So they got into it with some things, but they weren't arguing, and it was just, you know, he just has a different philosophy.
Yeah,
he's like a Republican
opinion, yeah.
and he does attack left-wing ideology because he finds it very threatening, and, you know, this is kind of like how political people go anyway.
Yeah.
So, but it was cool to hear that Henry and Ted talked. They have this huge thing in common, you know, the rock side and their understanding of it and the love and the history and all the great, like, the amazing moments that Ted's had that Henry got to talk about and was like, God, I wish I was there in the 60s when he was with these people and up in Boston and, you know, all this stuff. So it was cool, but then he stopped and he was like, yeah, but I wanted to, like, talk to him a little bit about some of the crazy shit that he said and be like, do you really think this? And, you know, and...
I wonder how he got even a word in with Ted Nugent. You know, he's never done drugs or drank, Ted Nugent, which is insane because he's insane.
He should probably smoke some weed.
He
doesn't need any cocaine.
He doesn't need anything, but it's so funny how some be like, hey, man, relax.
Liquid cocaine in his coffee.
Yeah, exactly. But he talks like, and you're like, okay, what? You know, you repeat that. You know, you're like, damn.
It was intense, and that's 100% how he spoke on Joe's. But think about it, right? He's been who he is for so, like, he's been that famous for how long? It's like everyone just lets him speak. Nobody's going to tell him to shut up ever, you know? So he's had 50 years of that practice.
You know, Huck, our buddy, Huck Johns, the singer, he toured with him for a year. He opened up for him.
Oh, no shit.
And he's like, man, I'm singing with my hero. But he's like, he's nuts.
Yeah.
I think that's the takeaway.
Is like,
but
you know,
rock,
smart guy. He's a rocker.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's nuts. He's a lunatic. And it's fascinating. But I mean, in the same way, Henry Rollins kissed a
cobra. Yeah, I know. Kissed
cobra.
Cobra.
I mean,
yeah.
I think if you're a rock star, you probably are a little nuts.
Oh,
if you're a comedian, you're a little nuts.
Yeah. To even go into the arts, I believe you... I mean, I'll admit myself, you have to have a little bit off your rocker, because, you know what I mean? Because you're the constant failure, the constant someone saying no, 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 and you get some stuff, and you get some stuff going good, and then, you know what I mean? It's adrenaline, right?
For sure.
It's, you know, it's the ups and downs. But then if you get one thing, and you just get, like, rock stars, and you're just rolling, you know, I mean, you could just have a couple hit albums, right, from 30 years ago, and you're still living like you were when you were 19.
Well, and that is wild, because if you think of the difference between like rock and roll, or even an actor, or a comedian, like a comedian can't do the same set for his whole life, no matter how good the jokes are.
Yeah, exactly.
An actor can't just release the same movie again. He has to make new ones. Mm-hmm. But a singer can just make one great song and play it forever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sure, they might get insanely bored of their own shit, but it's money always. And people will lose their minds when they hear certain songs. You get to have that effect without even thinking. Like, imagine Bon Jovi living on a prayer. Who doesn't, like, kind of nod their head and tap their foot to that song and be like, fucking maybe sing the chorus quietly in the shower?
You know it by heart.
Yeah, it's just a good riff.
Especially the bass line in the beginning. Boom, 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 boom.
Right.
And you're like, you know what? I was going to change it, but what? There's no one looking around.
Yeah,
right?
we keep it on,
okay,
right?
I'm going to roll the windows up and I'm going to turn it up. Hopefully none of my friends see me.
And I'm going to sing this shit through because it just has that effect. Now, he's probably sung it so many times, he probably wants to blow his brains out singing that fucking thing. But he makes people wild with it. He'd be able to do it to the end of his life. And that's lucky, right? And these guys just get to do it. What I love hearing about people that are really successful, like great rockers, just people doing very well, is like their work ethic. And I wonder, was that there first, or did the success bring it on? Meaning, obviously, not everyone keeps working that hard, but like Henry Rollins has a publishing company. He writes many books. He wrote this huge series of like books on music, I think he said. Mm. And it was like over 100,000 words in this series of books. And he was like working 10-hour days. And it's like, is it that it doesn't seem like work anymore? Because you're doing everything you want, and it all pays you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, imagine if you were just popular, wealthy enough, and well-known, to where just like every project you thought of, yeah, you got to put work in and make it work. But it's like, you know, people will buy it. Yeah. People will, you'll get money for it. It's like you're rewarded for all of the work that you do. You would do a lot more shit.
And then plus you do some really good stuff. You know, the people who are really talented as well, they're going to gravitate towards you, and you guys get building better and better projects, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think if, but going back to the work ethic, I think you have to have it before, you know what I mean, on certain different things. I mean, unless, because I think if someone was born with no work ethic at all, and now in your 30s, you're like, hey, I want to go start training. You know what I mean? If you didn't train a little bit before,
oh, you'd be fucked.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You have to, yeah. Work ethic. You have to learn it. You know, you have to build it. You have to construct it. You have to keep organizing your days and getting better at it.
Yeah, include
for sure
something
you do
every time into that to kind of jar that loose, whether it's physical or whether it's, you know,
exactly. And that's an important point that Henry Rollins brought up, because Joe was bringing up yoga, right, and how important it is. For just like staying flexible, being able to move, being able to work, you know, all those things. And Henry Rollins doesn't do it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but like I've been injured recently, and I'm thinking maybe yoga. You know, maybe I put it in, but not just for your body or whatever, but also for the like relaxation part. Like we're saying with work, we got to balance it, right? It tires us out. It wears us out. It's not always our biggest motivation. And you got to do some other stuff to, like, keep yourself focused. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain directions you can go. You can go to the bar, right, which we've done. Mm-hmm. Or we can say, well, we'll do a bit of that, but then also another day we'll do, it'll be yoga, or it'll be the gym, or it'll be the other things that I do to balance kind of where I am with, like, the other projects I do and the work and these guys, in so many ways, and you notice this with a lot of really successful, you know, people that just do really well, they're very good at finding their own balance. Like, they don't all just work 24 hours a day, even if they talk about how much they work. Like, they're very good at fitting in, like, they go for their massage, or they get to go to the gym, or they just know how to, like, balance this, which would make sense, right? Because how can you be super productive without really knowing yourself?
Yeah, then plus should we go try to add other things in too, like that. So, hey, you know what? I'm hopping about. I'm just going to go deep sea fishing today. But it's, I think creatively too, then it gives you time to be out there and then get more creative, right? Going, oh, yeah, that's what I can write.
Yeah.
That's what I could do. Oh, that's how that chord change goes.
Right.
Right?
It's like you take your mind off it on purpose, yet somehow your mind gets back on it, but from a different angle. And you're like solving problems. You know, it's like when someone says sleep on it. You sleep on things, you usually make a better decision.
True,
almost always, you know? Unless the decision is not to sleep. I guess that would be the only time that wouldn't help.
Yeah, just staring at the cracks in your ceiling.
Yeah, just being awake.
Talking to ghosts.
Henry is interesting in one way because he talks a bit about having social anxiety, which is an important thing for people to know about because, you know, you think that anyone that can perform in front of thousands of people, it's like, oh, they're just over. Like, they don't have normal fears like regular folk. Like, they're super confident.
They're invincible.
And they're invincible and they're just another level. But when it comes to individuals, he's not down for it. He said he'd way rather be the person that, like, bails you out of jail than, like, comes over to meet your family. I don't want to...
I love that comparison.
Isn't that great? And he made it a few times.
I agree with him as well.
Yeah. Well, it gets exhausting.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, the judgment.
You got to pull a resume out.
Yeah,
man. That's like, I remember like in high school going on dates and all of a sudden, before a prom or date, and it's like, oh, hey, you know, your date's here, Eddie's here. And I sit there and of course, girls getting ready. Now I'm dealing with the brother, the old older brothers and the dad and everything going, so what was your SAT? Where are you going to school? And you're just like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I got to get out of here. Like, lying through your teeth.
It seems like most of the questions, too, are just based... They're, like, founded from a place of someone who doesn't really know how to, like, hold real conversations. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, so they turn it into a Q&A. Why can't it just be, right, we're at a dinner... So let's just talk about whatever nonsense. Like, why do we need the history of everyone to know who we are? Why don't we just talk about whatever we want to talk about and just get a feel for people? Like, I don't like... those questions are really...
It's almost like dating.
Where are you from? Oh, from England? What part of England? And then I'm like, this is going to take 20 minutes and I have to say this every day.
But if you say, like, the wrong... It's like dating out in L.A. You say the wrong answer, and you know, God forbid you say you're an actor, music, or any of that kind of stuff, and it's like... Oh, and sorry, I'm just saying. And all of a sudden you go, well, what do you do? And they go, well, I'm an accountant, or I'm a... that. And you're like, well, okay, that's cool. But it's like, you're already being put down. You're like, well, can I check, please? Can I get those appetizers to go?
It's almost like they're asking questions so that they can get something to be annoyed about.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he hates going. He hates. What Henry Rollins likes to do is he gets a lot of happiness out of just completing tasks. He
sets
his goal, gets it done. He'd rather work on those things than like be pretending to care about who you are. Not that he doesn't care, like he's a nice guy, but he just, you know, fuck it, he's busy.
World,
he's, I think he's like 55, 60 now, I don't know. He needs to chill out.
Up there, yeah.
I think he gets to a point where you get to choose, right? You get old enough, you're like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't have a lot of time left and I don't want to do it. I just don't want
to.
I respect it. Why even bother, you know? And he also talks about how he's balancing his anger always. Like, you know, anyone that has the type of music he has, there's anger
there's
in
anger
there.
There's anger issues,
and he uses that. He uses that as a motivator. You know, he imagines seeing people that tell him he can't do it. And then says, watch this. And I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I love it. Because I had that voice with a lot of things. You know, a lot of projects that I've done. Definitely even with this podcast. You know, it's just like, no, it's going to suck. I'm like, well, shit, all right, but I'm going to try. And that means something. That means a lot.
And those are the
sorts of things you get from Rogan's podcast, for sure. When he has these great guests on, interesting people, fascinating stories, but then you start to see similarities that you have with them. And then they describe how they went from one place of feeling to another, kind of the breakdown of the process, and with... the accumulation of all the different guests, there'd be one that will resonate with you if Joe doesn't already. And then, you know, you can just kind of apply it in your own life, you know?
Well, you know what I like too, when you have certain guests, when they come on and they're just speaking truth, they're very truthful. You're like, you know what? I would actually have a beer with that person and just like to, you know what I mean? Talk. 'Cause it's like, it's nice to see someone kind of just kind of, you know, take their shoes off, just relax and just talk to like a regular, like you just friend, you know?
Yeah.
And with no kind of you're this, you're that, you know what I mean? Just hanging out. I mean, that's a good listen, I think.
So. It's great. And that's why these free flow form conversations are the best, because you get to see these people as real people. And you also get to see who the nuts are still, which is cool. You're like, all right, nutty people do exist.
Exactly.
Anyway, Ed, thanks, brother, for coming on. Again, as always, I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, brother. Thank you. And, thank you for the coffee.
Yeah, of course. And thanks for listening, guys. So that's it for this week. I heard some rumors that Elon Musk is going to be on Joe's podcast soon. I don't know how true that is, but I'm looking forward to that, and I can't wait to review it. But anyway, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great week, and we'll be talking soon.